T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Right, the NFL draft coming up just around the corner, and what will the Cincinnati Bengals do? Are they going to take Penei Sewell out of the University of Oregon or Ja'Marr Chase, the wide receiver at LSU? That is a burning question that Robert Mays of The Athletic tried to tackle at theathletic.com, and he's kind enough to join us now. Good afternoon, man. How you doing?
Good. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, we'd love to have you on and love talking to you, man, because this is a great question, because everybody out here, we obviously go, we've watched Penei Sewell for a handful of years now, and we've seen what he can do on a football field, and we go, my God, that's a transcendent type talent. You tried to dive in, though, and say there is a case for both, taking a wide receiver or the left tackle. Can you explain to me why I am crazy in thinking that the left tackle can be a foundational piece of your franchise and you would never pass up on that?
I think that that's a good argument. To me, I think the crux of it is all about how hard is it to replicate what these guys can give you. And I think that's the bets you're always making in the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the way receiver has been, you know, over the last 5 to 10 years, especially as it's gotten even deeper because of the way the college game has played and just the number of talents at the position and how nuanced and refined and skilled these guys are because they've caught so many passes, all of that. I just think that tackles are harder to find. You look at it, think about the 2017 draft. I think it's a great example. You know, you have 3 wide receivers go in the top 10. Corey Davis, Mike Williams, John Ross went to the Bengals. About 50, 60 picks later, you have Chris Godwin and Kenny Golladay come off the board. And both of those guys turned out better than the guys drafted in the top 10. And that happens at tackle too, but it's not as isolated at receiver. You have it happen every single year where these guys are going in the second round. I mean, think about where DK Metcalf went. He was the last pick of the second round, and he is in contention to be the best receiver from that class. I mean, there were 5 or 6 of them taken before him. It happens all the time. Amari Cooper was the 4th overall pick. Stephon Diggs was a 5th round pick. And Stephon Diggs is, in my opinion, a better pro than Amari Cooper. At tackle, that just doesn't happen for a few different reasons. You know, the hit rate on tackles in the first round is higher than at pretty much every single position. Yeah. I think about 60% of them drafted between 2000 and 2020 were at least 5-year starters for their team, compared to 40% at wide receiver. And also, it's just harder to find them elsewhere. You don't get many starting-level quality tackles outside of the first round, let alone outside of the second round. Most of those guys are first and second round picks. And if we're thinking about this as a multi-year approach, and you don't have to say we're plugging this hole and we're plugging this hole in 2021 because we know the guys to pick, which is always wrong, it's easier to find receivers in free agency. Now, Riley Reiff was the best tackle available in free agency this year. He's 32 years old. He signed a 1-year deal. That was it. I mean, Trent Williams, I don't think counts because he only did it because he didn't have a franchise tag provision. And receivers, they're around all the time. You can find starters consistently. So that's the thing to me, is who is more rare, which skill set is rare, which skill set is harder to replicate. And I just think that's the tackle. And it's almost independent of Sewell and Chase and what you think about them as prospects.
And you know, what's interesting in what you're talking about, though, is that you just laid out how, you know, the hit rate on first round tackles is through the roof, but doesn't it seem as if the Bengals kind of scouting department and things that they've said publicly have kind of led folks to believe that they think that they can find enough offensive linemen throughout the course of this draft because they do believe it is deep?
If they want to bet on their pre-draft evaluations as being correct, that's a fine gamble that they can make.
Oh boy.
I think that we've consistently seen over time that NFL teams overrate their ability to know which players are going to be good and which players are going to be bad. And it's also one of those things that I don't know if you should be trying to thread the needle of finding immediate starters in the second round of drafts or things like that. I just think that especially in the first round, you should be trying to find the rarest players you can when you're a team that's still rebuilding. It's not as if the Bengals draft Ja'Marr Chase in the first round and X tackle or offensive guard in the second round, they're Super Bowl bound. I think that you should think about this over several different years. And I don't think Riley Reiff should preclude you from taking a guy like Penei Sewell because it's going to be a five-year kind of consideration, all of that stuff. So all the arguments I've heard about the depth of this tackle class, I just don't think you should be thinking about where can I find a decent starting tackle in 2021. That shouldn't be the goal here. I think it should be getting the best players possible for the lifespan of Joe Burrow's contract.
You know, Robert, one of the things in your article that I was laughed at really hard was the meme that you had posted that you embedded in the middle of option A, option B between Joe Burrow throwing to anyone, getting protected by Penei Sewell, and then option B is just him getting hit with anybody at left tackle. And I know you had said also that you had been on Reddit message boards, you had been through Twitter, kind of looking at what the fan reaction was, and it's a little bit split on between do they want to take Sewell, do they want to take a wide receiver. What do you think is the fan reaction in terms of how they think of Joe Burrow with that thought? In that if Joe Burrow is so good, shouldn't he find the receivers, or do they really need to protect him at all costs?
I think that a lot of fans want them to protect him at all costs, but I also think that's not the way to look at it either. You know, it's so easy to get roped into extreme events and recent events, and Joe Burrow tearing his ACL is both in the minds of Bengals fans. So I understand them wanting to say we have to protect him because he got hurt last year, but I think that it's beyond that. I think it should that shouldn't be the reason, even if it brings you to the right conclusion. So right now, by totally informal straw poll of Bengals fans, it seems like Sewell is in the lead, but I do understand why that group would want Chase too. It's a really fun discussion. I think they spend way too much, many of their waking hours thinking about it right now.
We're talking with Robert Mays of The Athletic. He's got a great piece up on whether or not the Bengals will make the right decision, draft Penei Sewell, or the wrong decision in Ja'Marr Chase. Now, that is me saying that, but you're breaking down.
That's not how I see it.
Yeah, but just how good, you've talked to a lot of people, obviously, over the course of this piece and, you know, in covering the league in this draft process. How good do people believe Penei Sewell is, and how special of a talent at tackle is he?
I think they believe he's really good. I think that the arm length concerns are real among football people just because it does matter. You know, like for the most part, if you want a guy, we're talking about rare, right? That's the conversation about top five picks. Physical profile matters. You want somebody who checks every single box. And that is a box that he does not check. I don't think it's enough to stop a team from drafting him in the top five. And I do think that people who really know the position think that his other qualities, you know, the explosiveness, the movement skills at 330 pounds, the fact that he's like 16 years old, all of that stuff, I think factors into what people think about him. So if when you're in the top five and when you're talking about guys at that range, you're always going to nitpick.
Yeah.
You know, you can talk about how Mitchell Schwartz doesn't have the longest arms and he was fine, but he went in the second round. Yeah. So I think that that's the kind of things that you need to do. You're kicking the tires a lot on these guys. So there are things that I think there are some people who look at the position and would not say that he is a generational prospect. But I do think overall people are very, very excited about what he could end up becoming.
And on the flip side, Ja'Marr Chase, the other guy that is widely under consideration there. You know, this is a very deep wide receiver draft too, especially on the top end.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it depends on how you want to see Ja'Marr Chase. I think that people can spin Ja'Marr Chase into whatever they want him to be.
Yeah.
Ja'Marr Chase is 6 foot, 200 pounds. There are a lot of receivers who have been 6 foot, 200 pounds. But his testing numbers are through the roof.
Yeah.
You know, his overall athletic scores are rare. They are the type that come along once in a blue moon. But his physical body type and the way he plays and everything else, I think there are questions about just how truly dominant he can be. So that's the question. It's not is Ja'Marr Chase going to become a really good NFL player, or is Penei Sewell going to become a really good NFL player? It's do they warrant consideration in the first five picks of the draft, and in some ways, like the first pick in the draft, if four quarterbacks go in the top four picks, is that what they are? Are they these rare, rare guys that deserve to be drafted there, or are they merely very good prospects? And I think that you could really spin it either way, if I think for the most part they do fit that rare, rare quality.
Robert Mays of The Athletic, he's got a great piece up about the Bengals, Penei Sewell versus Ja'Marr Chase debate, and how teams value positions. It was a great insight into, you know, look, you've got the two most important positions right now outside of the quarterback are your left tackle and the wide receiver, and the Bengals have got a big decision to make on Penei Sewell or Ja'Marr Chase. Really appreciate the time, and I encourage everybody to go to The Athletic and read it. Thank you so much, Robert, for taking a few minutes for us.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.